Welcome to Back to Your Roots, a podcast that provides insight into all things farming, financing, and farm life, guiding you back to your roots.
Thanks for joining us again on Back to Your Roots. I'm your host, Chris Griffin.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to us again. This is your other host, Jordan Turnage, and we are happy to have the Hunter Bray come in here and sit with us this afternoon. Hunter, just kind of a little bit of a background on you real quick, and then you can fill in the blanks on the rest of it just for our listeners out there. Hunter is a crop insurance agent that works with us here at River Valley Ag Credit. He works in our Keville office. He works in our Murray office. And in the next couple of years, looking to be in charge of all our river counties. So, Hunter, thanks for coming in. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here. A little bit about myself. My name is Hunter Bray. I am from the small town of Barlow in Ballard County. Grew up about 5 miles apart from my family. Grew up duck hunting and working on duck blinds, planting corn every year for duck hunting, and playing football through school. After graduating in 2019 from Ballard Memorial, I went on to Murray State University, where I got my degree in agriculture agronomy. While there, I joined the fraternity Alpha Gamma Rho, like my fellow brother Jordan here.
Yes, sir.
I was able to make a lot of connections in the ag industry that way. My second semester at college, I interned as a credit intern here at River Valley and just enjoyed it so much, they asked me to come back part-time. So I worked part-time helping.
So they just partly liked you.
They just partly.
Not all the way. They weren't going to fully
commit. They didn't full-time like me. They partly liked me. So I came back on.
Equity.
I came back on to help part-time with crop insurance up until this last December of 22, where I came on full-time, and I've been the crop insurance agent all this year. And then most recently, I was able to marry my longtime girlfriend, Maddie Williams.
Oh.
And we now reside in West Paducah. As far as crop insurance agent work here at River Valley, my main job is to work with our insureds to help them make the best decisions possible based on their yearly operations and to work to keep them happy and to add more insureds in the future. So,
you kind of really had a trial by fire this year with the way the crops have had to deal with lack of water and then too much of it all at the same time. It's been a real learning experience for you, I would guess.
Trial by fire, to say the least. It's been, I like to look at it as beneficial. Mm-hmm. First year, having a lot of opportunity to work with a lot of different folks on potential claims. Luckily, it's turning out to be a decent year so far. But like you said, we had an early drought, and that caused some pollination issues and some corn. And then we got hit with a massive wild flood right in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, 24 hours, you get 2 feet of water.
Yeah, about a foot in a day there. So that kept some beans underwater. And for the most part, everything's pulled through except some stuff that was maybe in some bottom ground and, you know, creeks flooded. And if that water can get off quick enough, it'll be all right. But some of it set underwater for a couple of days at a time, and it's not really making what they want it to. But that's what the crop insurance is for those.
Right.
For those, you know, you don't want to have to use it, but it's there in case you need it. So,
well, that kind of leads into a little bit of what I was going to ask is kind of, you know, maybe for somebody who doesn't really know anything about crop insurance or maybe anything about ag, you know, exactly what is crop insurance and what are those specific benefits that farmers get from that?
So, crop insurance is a pretty specific thing based on, you know, each farmer's operation. You have two main types of crop insurance. You have your MPCI, which is multi-peril crop insurance. And then you have crop hail. MPCI is the more popular option. That's what at least 98% of our policies are. It is federally subsidized. So the government subsidizes around 65% of total premiums based off of certain coverage levels. Those base coverage levels go from anywhere from 50% up to 85%. And then there's add-ons you can get if you need to insure above 85%. Most producers, I would say, choose between 70 to 80%, right in that 75 range. When it comes to multi-peril crop insurance, it is based off of your farm's history and your yield. So you have what we call APH, which is the actual production history. And that is what is used to calculate your insurance guarantee. So the average history of each of your farms is multiplied by whatever coverage level you select.
Okay.
And that gives you what we call the trigger yield. And that trigger yield is the average yield that you need to hit to start getting indemnity payments from insurance. So when you multiply what your trigger is by the number of acres, that gives you your total production guarantee. From there, we have the different options as far as policies go is yield protection and revenue protection. Yield protection, just like it says, protects against loss in yield, loss in production, while revenue protection, which is the more popular choice, also protects against production loss, but it also protects against revenue loss. You know, you have your projected price at the beginning of the crop year. You have your harvest price at harvest time.
Okay.
If that price drops, that brings your trigger up, and you have the potential to have a higher trigger, higher potential for loss. So, like I said, those projected prices set at the beginning of each year. For spring crop, it's normally in February. And then harvest time, October is the month that the harvest price kind of wanders. And then right there at the beginning of November, it sets. So, for example, this year, yields have turned out to be pretty good. But for everybody that has revenue protection, the price is set down almost a dollar on corn and beans. And so that raised, if you have a higher coverage level, then you need to be paying attention to, even though you maybe didn't have a big yield loss, you might still get an indemnity payment based off of your higher trigger with the prices being down.
Mm-hmm. Your commodity price.
So when you said that earlier about the history, if it's maybe somebody who's just recently bought land or maybe just recently got into farming, Is their yearly premium going to be more expensive because they're a higher risk borrower because they don't have that history, or is that kind of...
No, so the way that works is each year, if you buy a new farm, for example, mm-hmm. you've never farmed it, that would be put into the system as added land.
Okay.
And you get what's called the T yield. And the T yield is each county has their own average yield. So like for most counties, like let's use Callaway, for example, corn, it's 150. That's what you get. It's just an average for the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, the system will hold the last 10 years of history on that farm.
Okay, okay.
The last 4 years are what really matter for you. Because for the example that you just added this ground, you'll have that T-yield placeholder. So, you'll have 150 for the last 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
And then, so after you produce the crop for 1 year, you'll get 65% of the T-yield.
Of that 150.
And you have to build up to 4 years. And after those 4 years, you can start using your own history that you've created on the farm.
So similar, we use that yield a lot of times when we're doing projections for the upcoming year.
Yeah.
We use those same county yields and kind of just see many acres they're planting and kind of project what their income is going to be for the year and what that's going to produce. Right. So
Which run on a more conservative side, you know, and take the good and the bad as far as the averages all go together on it. But and then, you know, for years like we've had, I wouldn't say we're not – I wouldn't say, and you're the insurance guy on this, I don't think we were quite in that bad threshold, as bad as we could have been historically. I know corn acres aren't quite where we wanted them to be.
Right.
But I don't think we're, like, you know, losing our hat or anything like that this year.
Right. No.
Especially in comparison to, like, you know,
I think it could have
2012.
Been a lot, I think it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. You can look at it this way. There's a good and a bad side to it. Yes, we had an early drought. And yes, we had a flood, but it's kind of worked out at this point to where they were very timely and they almost, you know, contradicted each other to where, you know, I haven't had a lot of production turned in yet, but I've had a couple and those corn yields have turned out pretty good. I mean, I'm not going to name names, but people have been, you know, from the 180 range to up in the 200s for averages.
Yeah.
So, the
fun thing about this year with the pollination issues that we saw with the corn, a lot of guys would show me pictures of ears they got that they pulled out in the field, and you'd have a good solid extended ear out there, filled out end to end, and you go over three or four to five rows and you pull an ear out there and it's just got nubs on it.
Right.
So these guys really didn't know what to expect.
Right. And it's unpredictable. It's hard to tell. And, you know, there's some cases where, you know, farmers are pulling nice sized ears off of a bad stalk. I mean, it looks bad from the road when you're going by, but the ears are turning out. So, and like I said, there's going to be some people that produce an average, and, you know, but average is okay on a year like this. I mean, you can't ask for anything better, you know, with the unpredictable weather patterns and you know, if you go any lower, that's what the insurance is for. So that's why it's important to have. Yeah. So
who do we go through, like, as far as our insurance company, like who covers our crop insurance for River Valley Ag Credit?
So we've used RCIS in the past, but now we are fully with Rain and Hail, mm-hmm. which is the leading crop insurance provider out there. And in my experience, I've really enjoyed working with them. All the underwriters and marketing supervisors out there have been a big asset to me. And I have to shout out my guy, Zach Alexander. He's my Southern Division supervisor. He's been a very helpful resource here in my first year, helping me navigate the crop insurance world and helping me, you know, when I have questions on how to help the insureds, he's always just a phone call away. And, you know, they say as far as crop insurance and probably insurance in general, it might take a few years to really get a full handle on it. And he's helped me, you know, get way more experience than I could get, you know, what seems like in 3 years in this first year.
Because you had to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I mean,
once we got you in full time.
Right. Well, and luckily you had that experience as an intern too, and then also part time. So then you kind of had that under your belt.
Yeah,
too,
helping
that was a huge benefit.
Yeah, helping our past agents part time has definitely been beneficial, especially with meeting the farmers that mm-hmm. we serve.
Yeah,
building a relationship with them, but. I took over full time about a week before the sales closing date this year, mm-hmm. which is the beginning of the busiest season for us. So it was truly hit the ground running.
I remember those days when you're in your office and you didn't come out for a whole lot.
Yeah, well, you're making phone calls.
You look a little stressed. I'm not gonna lie. You don't see Hunter stressed very often, but he looked a little stressed.
Well, so it's important.
You had a lot on your plate. So
Well, it's important to call the insureds and let them know there's still somebody here to help them, and everything's gonna be all right.
And just being transparent with folks. You know, not that I was eavesdropping, but I couldn't help on some of catch some of the talking points on phone calls that you had with guys.
And
you didn't just, you know, hit them with filler, make them feel better. You told them, like, you know, yes and no questions on stuff. And you told them, like, I'm not real sure, but we will get the answer to this stuff. And
people will respect that. If you don't know the answer, then, hey, you know, I don't know. And I, you know, I'll find out. But
I just feel that that's the best policy. And if I'm open with my insureds, they'll be open with me. Yeah, and we can build a better relationship than, you know, getting into line to each other, and then it's not good for anybody. So
you're saying honesty could be the best insurance policy.
I would say that's right.
It's never, our podcast is never going to go by without one really bad dad joke.
He'll drop it
every time he can pull it out of a hat. So
it's a blessing and a curse.
So the next question, you know, we were going to ask, and this is probably good coming from a guy who's got probably the least amount of ag experience in this room. You know, when you talk about crop insurance, can you use that on any kind of crop? I mean, can you kind of talk about that? I mean, obviously, you got the regulars that are in our area, but kind of explain kind of what else that can possibly cover. So,
crop insurance is provided on almost any crop that is grown. A lot of that's going to depend on the region of the United States. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. they got peanut crop insurance in places, you know, bananas, they cover everything. But of course, in our area, the main crops are, you know, corn, soybeans, wheat, tobacco. But each county has its own actuarial listing. Those can be found online, and that will tell you how the crops can be insured for that county and which crops are available. It kind of is the guideline for, and in some cases, you know, written agreements, that's currently something I'm working on right now, can be done where if a certain crop can't be grown in a certain county, or if there's unrated land or high-risk land, I just have to work with the risk management agency, and there's certain documents that can be put together to be able to get that crop insured on that ground. So there's workarounds to it as long as you do it the right way, but pretty much any crop can be covered one way or another.
Now, this may be a silly question too, and this is me not having a lot of background. I know you're saying crop insurance. What about livestock? Is there insurance for livestock? Is that something that people would look into?
Mm-hmm. There is.
Does that fall under your realm, or that would be something else,
there,
I guess?
That does fall under my realm. Okay. River Valley doesn't really have much of a history with it. Mm-hmm. We are capable of doing it, and I hope to, maybe not this year, but I hope to in the future talk to some people around here about it. There's pasture, rangeland, and forage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's different options for it. A popular one would be like covering for a certain lack of precipitation to cover for hay cost and things like that to feed your livestock.
So that is
something I hope to stretch into in the future. So there's options out there.
That's a perfect answer. I was just curious about that. So
can anyone come up to you and just get crop insurance, or, you know, what all do they need to know as far as coming to you beforehand?
Right. So pretty much anybody is eligible as long as they produce acreage or have a share in it. I mean, we have plenty of landlord policies. They can, you know, landlord, you don't have to be a tenant.
Oh, so the landlord can
landlords
also get it.
As long as they have a share, they can also carry insurance on that ground. And there's, just like with loans, there's beginning farmer programs that are available to help young farmers. And, pretty much anybody that produces or has a part in farming has options to get crop insurance.
Do they have to be a member of River Valley Ag Credit?
That's a good question. They do not. We have some that are members.
Mm-hmm.
I see them come in the office all the time just as a borrower. But we have plenty of insureds that don't have any other affiliation with River Valley. So you do not have to be a member.
Okay. That makes sense.
And as far as like your area currently, I know I kind of touched on it at the beginning of it for your intro, but can you kind of elaborate more into detail as far as what your service area is currently?
Yeah. So currently I service insurance in Callaway County, Graves County, Marshall County, McCracken, and then parts of Henry, Tennessee. Most of our insurance is in the Callaway, Marshall, and Graves area. In the future, I hope to be able to expand that a little bit, maybe come into the river counties where I'm from and know a lot of folks, you know. So that is in the plans for the future, but we'll see when we get there. But as of now, those are the areas I cover. So
I know you mentioned a couple of things about dates and kind of when you originally started, but what are those important dates with crop insurance? And just so maybe those farmers out there kind of keep those on their calendar and make sure that they're getting you what you need.
Right. So crop insurance is heavily based on deadlines. Basically, everything I do is on a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of the main ones are for spring crops, such as corn and soybeans. You have the March 15th deadline.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call the sales closing date. That is the last day you have to sign up for a policy and crop. And then for fall, such as winter wheat, that deadline is September 30th. So those are the main deadlines as far as signing up for crop insurance. But then once you have crop insurance, there's plenty of other deadlines that I have to reach out to folks for as far as reporting your production on those crops, acreage reporting. It's a cycle, basically, is what it is. But those main two deadlines are March 15th and September 30th.
What would be some good tips for our borrowers out there listening to this podcast that would be good ideas for them to kind of help you in your process speed things up to make sure that deadline's met?
My main tip would be to keep your insurance in mind, and after your crop year's over and you've got your production in and you've seen what you've made, if you need to make any changes to your policy or you think you need to add a policy, reach out as soon as possible. That way we have time to discuss what works best for you, because like I said, it's based off of each farmer individually, and what works for one guy down the road might not work for another. It's important to make sure that you're paying for what works best for you and your farming operation. So just reach out as soon as possible for these deadlines. Don't wait till the last minute. We're all guilty of it, but the more time we have, the better we'll be able to service you. So
you're talking about fit for farmers. I know some of our loan payments you can do a quarterly, a semi-annual, annual, monthly. Is that similar for like the annual premium for the insurance? Do they pay that all at one time? Can they split that up? Or
so there's deadlines on that as well. So for spring crop, you know, your sales closing date's March 15th.
Mm-hmm.
You'll report your acres to FSA and to me in July. And then that bill is sent out in August, mm-hmm. August 15th.
Okay.
And
on my birthday.
This year.
No, shameless this year's, plug.
This year's a little different because there's an emergency relief program going on that delays interest. But normally, in a normal crop year, you have a month from that bill going out to pay that original premium.
To pay that amount.
After that month is up, a small, like 1% interest will accrue every month that you don't pay.
Okay.
Which doesn't add up to a lot at first, but eventually it can if you don't get it paid. So, and it's a similar thing with with your winter wheat or your fall crop. So there's a deadline. It's best to pay it soon, but some guys wait on their crop checks and they wait till later in the year. And it just really, you can pay it as soon or as late as you want until that next deadline. So you want to make sure it's paid before that next sales closing date or your crop contract could be canceled.
So. I got you. Okay.
So kind of elaborating on that and kind of, we've got a lot of detail on that and that was really informative. Could you just kind of tell us when somebody comes in, how they go about getting crop insurance?
Right. So if someone wants to come and get crop insurance, you would first reach out to your local agent. And of course, I would be happy to help anybody that needs any assistance and have a basic idea of your acreage. You don't have to bring all that in when you come, but kind of know how many farms you have and what you would be willing to spend on your crop insurance. And that way I'm able to run you a quote. We can look at different coverage levels and what would work best for you and just have an idea of what you're wanting to spend and how many, you know, how many acres you're wanting to insure, which if you have a multi-peril policy, you have to insure. That's a big difference. I hadn't talked about that yet. That's a big difference in your multi-peril and your crop hail is if you have multi-peril, you have to insure all of that crop in the county and it's by farm. Now, if you have crop hail, which is not as widely used, you're insuring more of a specific amount of acres. So you can insure on an acre by acre basis. And you can do more specific types of insurance, like not to name names, but this fall I created a crop hail policy for tobacco barn fire for a guy in Marshall County, and that's by an acre basis. So however many acres he wanted to insure and put in the barn is how his insurance was ran. So
okay.
What's the number one question you get?
I would say it's probably about premiums. I mean, the number one question I get about premiums is, you know, how much is my bill going to be this year? And that's pretty specific to each farmer. It's hard to say ahead of time until I get your acreage. But the FCIC, which is the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation, they set premium rates each year. And this allows me to run a generic quote for farmers, showing them different coverage level options and how much coverage they want to receive for a certain price, the projected price. And like I said, it's depending on each farmer. If you have history on that farm, I can run a quote based off of what the acres you had last year. Or if it's a new farm or a new farmer, I can run you a generic quote and just let you see what the premium per acre is going to be based off of how many acres you have or what coverage level you'd like to select. So
it's almost like some of my home loans, you pre-qualify somebody, you don't really know what their credit is or anything, but you're just kind of giving them an idea of, hey, it's about how much you can afford and this is what their rate's going
to
be.
Just a good way to get started.
You're going to have to dive deeper eventually, but if it's you can at least give them a general idea of how much it's going to cost.
Generic quotes are helpful in that way to just kind of get things rolling.
Okay, so. I got you.
Well, Hunter, I feel like you knocked it out of the park.
I think you did a great job.
I appreciate it.
I know we really appreciate the time. Coming in here and doing this. Hope to see you learn and grow as time progresses and hope to have you back in here again real soon.
Well, I appreciate you guys for having me. It's been fun. I'm glad we got to talk about crop insurance for a little bit. And for anybody that needs to reach out to me about any crop insurance needs, you can get a hold of me at 270-206-2971. Thank you, guys.
And give him a call because seriously, he's a great guy. And I'm backing up what Jordan said. He's a man of his word. He's a good guy. He's a hard worker, and hope he's at River Valley for a long time. So,
well, guys and gals, thanks for listening, and we look forward to seeing you back here on Back to Your Roots.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Your Roots, where we dish the dirt on all things ag. Be sure to never miss an episode by following and subscribing. While there, leave us a review about what you want to hear next. Stay in the know between episodes by following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and TikTok. For more resources, go to our website at rivervalleyagcredit.com.